You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On College Football, the weekly podcast that highlights the biggest stories in the college football world. Each Monday, you'll have me, Candace Cooper, host of Locked On Tar Heels, leading this talented team. Do yourself a favor. Make sure you download, subscribe to Locked On College Football from anywhere. You can also follow us on Twitter. We are active there as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So here's what I have on tap for you today. We have got Andrew Wade here in the building from Locked On Hawkeyes talking to me about Iowa football. More importantly, we got some big things happening in the football world in general. He might know something about the whole Chris Doyle situation. I wanted to touch base with him, had to get him on the phone to see what his thoughts and opinions were. Got to go with the experts, right? Because that's what we do here on Locked On Podcast Network. So let me bring to the stage Andrew, how are you? Happy weekend. You know, if you have one, we're recording this now on a Sunday, but getting into Monday, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Iowa basketball won yesterday. They've won two games in a row, so I'm not on brother watch anymore. Things are going well. Last week, I don't really take Iowa losses super well. I get a little upset.
Okay.
And tomorrow, I'm punching bag. I thought that'd be fun. Like, oh, I'm mad, I'm gonna punch this punching bag. And so you'll enjoy this. Last week, Iowa loses to Indiana. I'm already upset. I go to record my podcast. I record 30 minutes. It freezes out and I don't get any of the audio.
Oh,
so I have to
God.
Go back and record. So I was like super mad. I'm already mad that Iowa loses. I go to punch this punching bag and I said, I'm gonna kick it this time. But instead I didn't get close enough. I kicked too far away, hit my toe with it, not the top of my foot. And I'm pretty sure I might have broken my toe. So,
anyways,
my weekend this week is going a lot better. So,
that is
how are
awesome.
You doing, Candace?
I'm so great. Listen, I have learned to stop taking Tar Heel losses so, you know, intensely because one, they're frequent, but two, because it's just like, it's too much. I was too emotionally invested for so long. So, I definitely get where you're coming from. A punching bag is a nice touch.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good way to release some negative energy. I also stopped taking Iowa basketball seriously a long time ago, but this year, just like there's too much excitement, and I just can't help it. I just get so
Listen,
upset.
I'm feeling on the fence though about Luka Garza. I can't lie to you. A lot of hype has been built around him, and we already had our Locked On Tar Heels, Locked On Hawkeyes crossover episode. I don't know. I'm trying to buy in, but I'm not. I don't think I'm where everybody else is.
I don't know how to help you there. I've never heard anyone actually say they don't buy into Luka Garza. He's definitely struggled the last couple weeks. It hasn't been his best couple weeks, but a lot of it's the fact that teams are double and triple teaming him with so much regularity. And some of his shots just haven't been falling. But I can see, I mean, it's not pretty, right? Like what he does is not sexy. It's not pretty. It's not going to get you the highlights. But when you watch him play, the fact that, if you know, how hard he works, the grit he's playing with, the fact that he's beating guys down the court every single time at 6'11", 270 pounds. I mean, you can respect, he's basically like Tyler Hansbrough of Iowa. I mean, that is literally the player he is. And I think a Tar Heel can respect that at least, right?
100% can get down with that. And all the good stuff that goes on with Big Ten basketball. It's been a big hot topic of the year. We have a lot of Big Ten craziness to talk about today. Speaking of which, I know Big Ten football in general has had a wild season, right? They started and they stopped and they started again. It was just a lot going on. How did you guys, as the Iowa program, handle all of the flexibility that you had to have, right, in this whole season?
Yeah, I would say, they handled it as good as they could, right? I mean, you can only do what you had to do is so much. And
right.
I think the entire Big Ten did about as good of a job. When I say the Big Ten, I'm only speaking to the teams and the coaches. I think the Big Ten conference itself did probably the worst job of handling this entire pandemic as you possibly can as a conference. I think the whole conference leadership should be fired, in my opinion. But that's neither here nor there. I do think Iowa, though, did about as good of a job as they could. I think breaking in a first-year starting quarterback, that was definitely painful, though. And having the start and stops, not having the spring ball, that really impacted us at least the first two games. I mean, if Spencer Petras can hit a wide receiver, I think Iowa wins their first two games and quite possibly goes 8-0. And that's partly due to Iowa's talent. That's partly due to, the Big Ten was kind of up and down this year. But Spencer Petras, if he plays even just average in those two games, I think Iowa wins. Yeah. And I think Iowa goes 8-0. We're talking about a completely different, or at least splits it, heck, 1-1. Iowa was handedly better than Purdue, in my opinion. Northwestern, they just, that was the weirdest game I've watched. There's no reason they should have lost that game either, but it's tough. It's a season where you look at it, you win six games in a row, you're very happy with it, but you don't get your Big Ten crossover game. You don't get a bowl game. You got to take it for what it is. I'm glad I had football. I'm glad we had football. I'm glad the Hawks did so well, but it's tough. It's a year of what ifs, I think.
Absolutely. Now, did you appreciate having conference, like straight conference play, or do you like having the games where guys can tune up a little bit, or, you know, one-offs that are obviously winnable? Do you enjoy that better?
I mean, from an Iowa perspective, I absolutely enjoy the tune-up games because they always start off a little sluggish in the first part of the season, especially against some sub-tier competition, so or subpar competition. So to me, having a warm-up game or two is always ideal. Typically, Iowa plays a small mid-major type of school, you know, a non-power five school, and then they play Iowa State. So those are really, that's a pretty good warm-up. You get a, you know, pretty bad school, then you get a tough non-conference school in Iowa State before you get into your Big Ten slate. We're going to see next year, though. I mean, most of the Big Ten is playing a Big Ten conference game as their first game. Iowa gets Indiana, which is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Indiana coming to Iowa, if Iowa has fans in the stadium, and I see no reason why they wouldn't, given their, and I'm not going to get political, given their governor and their I'm not going to get into it. I was probably going to have fans in Kinnick.
Yeah.
it is going to be rowdy. And as long as Iowa plays decent football offensively, their defense should hold them in and they should be able to beat Indiana starting next year.
No doubt. Now, when you look at Iowa, talking about Coach Ferentz and his job over the season, what would you say about him and how do you feel like he handled this season?
I mean, I think he handled it with grace.
Yeah.
And I think he did about as good of a job as you can. I mean, I know I'm saying that a lot, but
no, it's okay.
What Kirk did this year was truly impressive. The program had a lot of it was very tumultuous times in June and July and August, and I think Kirk took that very seriously. I think one of the things that I love the most about Kirk is you can see his passion for the players, and his passion for the players and them as people is more important to him than the game itself.
Right.
And you could see how much pain he was in, seeing how much pain had been caused to former players. And it seems like they've done a really good job of trying to fix some of those things within the program as quickly as they possibly can. I mean, this is small, but those players weren't allowed to be on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's ridiculous. You got to be able to trust your players, but they said, okay, we're going to let you be on Twitter, which is, again, they're not changing the program by letting people be on Twitter, but it's a concept that shows they're trying to change some of these different ways where they've been impeding the progress of other players. And they now have their Twitter accounts on their Iowa Hawkeye profile pages. Wow. So they're really taking, you know, they're going a few steps above and beyond and trying to get into this 20th century or 21st century where they're not being so constricting of players' culture and behaviors and whatnot.
No doubt. I totally get that. I think in a time where a lot of kids are like recruiting, I want to be flashy, I want somebody to show me highlight tape, or I want to see that a program is going to like hype me up. You know, this is a new generation, but like to see like that hype up energy, it's important for a program to kind of shift gears a little bit. So I totally understand that. Well, you know, we got to talk a little bit about program shifts. There has been a person from the past that's been making highlights, and I want to get into him. But first, I got to make sure you guys know that there is only one place that has you covered and one place that I trust when it comes to betting. So if you're looking to bet on the Hawkeyes next season, if you're looking to bet on the Hawkeyes when it comes to basketball, getting ready for March Madness, Final Four, all that good stuff, you got to go to betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. You got to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Joining me on this Monday episode, we have Locked On Hawkeyes host Andrew Wade to talk Hawkeyes. More importantly, we've got to have some serious conversations here. As we know, we've seen the news, we've seen all the highlights. We know that Jacksonville Jaguars at one point had hired Chris Doyle, former strength coach for the Hawkeyes, and now he has since resigned from his position. But I wanted to get your insights. I know there's been a lot of controversy about the hire, but you know, for whatever, there was people that spoke highly of him. Of course, there's people that spoke extremely negatively of him. But overall, what did you make of Urban Meyer deciding to bring Chris Doyle back, or bring him essentially back into the football world?
I mean, isn't that just the most Urban Meyer move ever? I mean, that's about as Urban Meyer as it freaking gets.
Yeah.
Not reading the room at all, not even giving a single ounce of crap about what that could look like. And I know it's not just perception, right? I mean, let's focus on the facts. Chris Doyle is a phenomenal strength coach. When you just look at what he can do for players from a strength building perspective, yes, he is the best in the business. He is top of his profession at making players be the best football player they can be. But that doesn't mean he's a good person.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's a respected person. Now, if you Iowa football fans, you're going to get a 50-50 split about what went on and what was right versus wrong. I can only look at what and how many players spoke out about it and how they didn't feel comfortable around him. And it wasn't just players who didn't get a lot of playing time. It wasn't just players who transferred out. It was players who stayed in the program and are now in the NFL and owe a lot of their, you know, owe a decent amount of their success to maybe Chris Doyle, and yet still would never want to play for him again. Mm-hmm. And I think that to me speaks volumes about the kind of person that Chris Doyle is. I do believe there is always an opportunity for redemption, right? There's always an opportunity for a second chance. You can be rehabilitated at a certain point. But that was a year ago. That was less than a year ago. He's taking a position in football less than a year ago after that happening. And I know he always adamantly stood by what he was saying, that he never did anything intentionally wrong. That doesn't mean you didn't do something wrong.
Right.
You didn't maybe realize what you're doing was incredibly wrong or inappropriate. Doesn't mean it wasn't wrong and inappropriate and you shouldn't be reprimanded for it. So I think personally, I'm glad he ultimately resigned. I don't think it's a good spot to be in. I don't think it's a good spot to hire him, is what I should say. Not for Chris Doyle necessarily, but Urban Meyer, just what a crappy move to start off his tenure as a Jaguars coach. Say, I'm going to hire Chris Doyle after the way Urban Meyer handled Florida, which, God, there better be a 30-30 on that Florida team at some point. I mean, they had murderers. They had, oh my gosh, that team is ridiculous. And the fact that Urban Meyer's let it all kind of slide, like, oh, I got Tim Tebow, and don't worry about any of these other guys who are doing a lot of really inappropriate stuff. I mean, again, it goes to speak volumes about his character as a coach. Yeah. I mean, he's a darn good football coach, but not the kind of guy I'd want to send my kids to go play football with or go to a NFL team for.
Absolutely. Listen, when the Pouncey brothers retired, I was like, man, that tell-all is going to be lit, right? Like,
it's going to be wild.
Now that they don't have the opportunity, now that they're not under the thumb of the NFL, I'm sure they're just going to let it spray, which is cool. Like, I want to know. I'm wondering, though, if Chris Doyle had, like, owned up to his ish, like, if he had, you know, done a sit-down interview and acknowledged, you know, what he'd done in his mistakes, even with, you know, a year under the belt of everything happening, do you think that would have been better and maybe we could have let it go and maybe let the hire stand a little bit easier?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would have agreed with it either way, but I do think that he sat down and said, you know what? I screwed up. Here's the things I did wrong. Here's what I'm doing to fix them. Here's why they were wrong. Here's maybe why I didn't even think they're wrong in the beginning, but here's why I know they are wrong now. Yeah. You can always start forgiving someone a lot better when they start taking responsibility for their actions, but he has not once taking responsibility for his actions. He got a big payday. Now, a lot of that was more of just Iowa would have to have gone to court and spent a lot of money just to get him out of court regardless. So that was just a financially wise decision from Iowa. But the dude collected $1 million while he wasn't coaching after being, from all, you know, from all intents and purposes, a jerk to players of color, and inappropriate to players of color and insensitive, I would say, to players of color in the Iowa football program. If you had maybe apologized, probably a better look, but still not a great look. I still think, you know, it's not like you're just magically, you see differently, right? You don't just, it's a process. It's a learning curve. It takes a long time, for people who maybe believe the way he does to see the other side of it and really see it, not just fake see it. Right. So I do think that It would have looked bad regardless, but it would have been a better start had he at least even apologized or realized he did something wrong.
No doubt. And I would also argue that, you know, trying to bring that energy into a room of grown men, like obviously college kids are still, you know, for all intents and purposes, grown and adults, but trying to bring that into the professional world and like thinking that a NFL star is going to adhere to all that BS, that would have never gone well. Like, I don't even know what Urban Meyer was thinking. Like, I can see somebody swinging easily. Like, if I'm making millions of dollars, it's a lot easier for me to swing and take a little fine versus, you know, a college kid trying to find his way, trying to get to the next level, feeling like you have to listen, you know, to coaching staff. And I also think that, you know, it speaks to Ferentz and how he is trying to change the culture. I applaud him for trying to make it so, like, Iowa's getting with the times. They're trying to, you know, change the culture with which, you know, yes, Iowa is known for guys who are going to work their tail off. They might not be, you know, five-star flashy, but they are going to get, you know, seen and looked at because of the hard work they put in. Like, that still can be the culture, but maybe not so much to the point where you have to diminish guys, like, in the end.
You hit it right at the nail on the head. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no doubt. So that is craziness. But, you know, thinking about offensively, you talked about the fact that they had a new quarterback. And then we've seen a lot in college football, you know, having young guys not have a spring or, you know, summer opportunity to get better. What do you think, you know, going into next season, you are hoping to see out of that offense? Especially from not even just from a quarterback position, but just from, you know, your standout receivers and running backs and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see more consistency in the passing attack. The running game I thought was really great. We lost our backup running back who would have been a starter on most teams, but running game shouldn't be a big problem. But we are going to be missing our two top wide receivers, and we're missing our top three offensive tackles. So Alaric Jackson and Coy Kronk head to the NFL. Mark Kallenberger, who was going to be replacing Alaric Jackson, he just decides to retire. So from that is honestly probably the biggest concern is our tackle spots, which will be interesting to see how they can handle some of the edge rushers that are in the Big Ten. But we do have a abundance of four-star guys, which is not a thing I'm used to saying, but we have an abundance of four-star guys at the tackle position that have been learning and growing in that Iowa offense. So they should be okay there. I do want to see just consistency in the offensive attack, though, because this past year you would expect Amir Smith-Marset and Brandon Smith to take off a lot of the pressure from Spencer Petras, and yet he still couldn't complete a significant portion of his passes. Now he loses Amir Smith-Marset, who is a burner who's going to be drafted. You lose a Brandon Smith who can go up and catch almost anything. He's going to get a shot in the camp. Can there be guys to step up and replace them? Absolutely, but they're young guys. They're all young guys that are going to be ready to replace them, and they're not the same type of guys. So that'll be really interesting to me to see if they can perform consistently on the offensive side of the ball this year.
Do you think that there are any tight ends that we should keep our eye on? We know that Iowa is pretty much tight end you over there. So are there anybody coming in that we should be like, all right, pretty soon he's going to be that guy?
Yeah, Sam Laporta is going to be drafted in either next year or the year after. I talked to Matt Miller. He used to work at Bleacher Report. He now has his own website, thedraftscout.com, really renowned for his analysis. And he says Sam Laporta is on his watch already. Part of it's because Iowa tight ends, you're naturally going to be kind of looking at a little bit more. Obviously, you see the success that George Kittle's had. You've seen the success that TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant have. So the tight end spot is always going to be a position of interest for any scout. But Sam Laporta has been starting as a true freshman. And that is just not something that happens in Iowa very often. I mean, George Kittle didn't really get playing time till his junior, senior season. And that was only because of injuries. So Sam Laporta starting as a true freshman towards the end of his season needs to do a better job of coming down with some of those 50-50 balls. But as a tight end, you don't get on that field unless you can block. And he can already do that. He's still growing into his body. Spencer Petras has a good connection with him. Look out for him. You know, if he has a year next year like Noah Fant or TJ Hockenson did, I mean, I could see him going to the NFL after one more year.
No doubt. Good stuff. Maybe he'll be equipped because he's got his Built Bar stacked with him. You know that anyone who has Built Bar is set up for greatness. Have been looking for good treats to keep you nice and fit. You've got to go to Built Bar. It keeps you nice and toned. It's the best tasting protein ever, Bar. Best tasting protein bar ever. See, I can't even get it out. It's so good. With 18 amazing flavors that are 100% covered in chocolate, Built Bar is even more delicious. If you're a health conscious person like me, you'll enjoy Built Bar because it's low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Don't miss the biggest stories from around college football as Monday's Locked On College Football host Candace Cooper interviews the local experts on the biggest stories from around the nation. Get in-depth analysis and insightful breakdowns from those in the know every Monday on Locked On College Football. Subscribe to Locked On College Football wherever you get podcasts. And that's right, you got to hear me every single Monday because I have a great guest. And today's guest happens to be Andrew Wade from Locked On Hawkeyes. We talked about Iowa. Got a little everything, right? I'm telling y'all, I'm trying to still get myself convinced of being a Luka Garza lover. I'm trying to dial in. I'm gonna work on it. We still got a lot more basketball left, but we're locked in on football here and wanted to talk defense a little bit, right? So we got tight end you, but defensively, how did you feel like Iowa stood up against, especially in their last, you know, six games of the season?
I mean, that defense is so phenomenal, and the fact they continue to lose players of the NFL and somehow keep reloading for it. I mean, this is not Alabama, right? We're not starting five stars across the board. We're not starting five stars, our, you know, total defensive 11 players. Iowa doesn't have any five stars. So they're continuing just to reload and rebuild and redevelop and just turn out all Americans, especially on that defensive line, like nobody's business. 2 years ago, they lost four starters, to the NFL or just to draft process and whatnot. Last year, they lost three starters. This year, they lose three more starters in the defensive line. So over the last 3 years, they've lost 10 starters, which is something that even Alabama doesn't have to deal with. Yet, I have no concerns about their defensive line. There's a lot of really strong, young, talented guys. They also returned Zach and Valkenburg, a D2 transfer, who played phenomenally last year. So really excited to see what he can do. I think overall, this defense should be solid, though. Linebackers, this might be the most athletic and instinctual linebacker group we've seen since the Josie Jewell era. Not saying Josie Jewell's an athletic linebacker, because he's not. There's a reason why he slipped to the fourth round, but this linebacker group is going to be great. We saw some really good things with them in terms of coverage and attacking the run game. And it's the secondary. I mean, Phil Parker just does a really outstanding job of developing secondary players. And for the first time in a couple of years, we're not losing anyone in the secondary. Matt Hankins decided to return, taking that 1 year of extra eligibility back and saying, I'm going to play. We're returning Riley Moss. We lost a couple guys to the transfer portal that were depth players, but there's a reason why, and that's because we have so much talent at our starting positions. And then we added a transfer from UNI who was looking at either going to the draft or going to another school, always wanted to play for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So, I mean, this secondary is going to be outstanding. As long as the defensive line can just be consistently above average, which they've shown they can be, and Iowa does a good job of rotating guys in and out so these guys are not coming in without ever having played a down, this defense could be just as good as last year's, if not better.
Listen, that's awesome to hear because we know that the Big Ten is not playing games. We know that every year the Big Ten is fighting for opportunities to go to potentially the college football playoffs and the national championship. Now, how confident do you feel in these Hawkeyes that they could be in that conversation and take down teams like Ohio State?
I mean, the only thing I got to point to for Ohio State is the one time we played them in the last 5 years and we just shellacked them at Kinnick and made them never want to come back, and Urban Meyer never had to play us again. So, I mean, you got to have some confidence in knowing that Iowa gets up for those big time games. Yeah. They always do. They very rarely get blown out. I can't even remember the last time they've gotten blown out. Heck, I think the worst loss they've had in like 3 years is against Wisconsin 2 years ago. And that was, they had a garbage time touchdown that brought it to double-digit win. So it's very rare that Iowa gets blown out. As far as competing for a Big Ten title, I think it has to start with beating Wisconsin in the West. And yeah, Wisconsin has Graham Mertz. They have Jalen Berger. I mean, this is an offense that could be pretty explosive. Like we talked about Spencer Petras, not a lot of time under his belt to be a starter. Same with Graham Mertz. And Graham Mertz played pretty well for the most part. So it'll be interesting to me to see if Iowa can take down Wisconsin. They have a very tough schedule to start off with. They got Indiana. They have Iowa State. That is not exactly the way you want to start off your season with two teams ranked in the top 10, unless you beat them. Mm-hmm. If they beat those two teams, Iowa should firmly be a Big Ten title contender, in my personal opinion. And okay, Ohio State breaking in a new quarterback, that is always an interesting situation. Are they going to get the play they have experienced the last couple of years with two first-round quarterbacks and Dwayne Haskins and Justin Fields? Who knows? You know, we can't guarantee anything. The Heisman odds would tell you otherwise with, you know, the unsung starter for Ohio State already as a Heisman candidate. But I think Iowa does have a really good chance. It starts with those first two games. If they win those, Iowa should be in the not the national title hunt, but at least a Big Ten title hunt.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, do you you think that, or do you see a big two Big Ten teams able to pull off being in the college football playoffs, or do you still feel like it's really strongly moving towards like SEC, Clemson, and then maybe two, we're feeling good, who can politically get us some attention with Notre Dame and what have you?
Yeah, I don't trust anything from the College Football Playoff Committee. And that's sad because the head of the College Football Playoff Committee is the Iowa Athletic Director. And I still think, and that honestly just speaks volumes about how I think about Gary Barta in general. But the College Football Playoff Committee is a freaking joke, in my opinion. Yeah. Here's the only way it happens. I think, and it's really ridiculous, this has to be the way. Michigan has to win 9 games. Penn State has to win 9 games. Wisconsin has to win 9 games. And then if another team beats those teams and Ohio State, and Ohio State was undefeated until that time, that's the only way we're going to get two teams in the playoffs, is if Ohio State loses in the Big Ten championship game and it's incredibly close. Mm-hmm. And the other team also undefeated. You basically have two undefeated teams going into the Big Ten title game, and it has to be a close game, and Ohio State doesn't win because the committee wants to have Ohio State in there. They're a blue blood by their standards. Michigan or Penn State could also pull that off as well. If Michigan or Penn State go undefeated, I don't think that's possible, but you want them to at least be good, because when you saw this season, people talk about the Big Ten not being a good conference only because Michigan and Penn State were not good. They weren't focused on the fact that Indiana was good or Northwestern were good. That's not good enough for the playoff committee and that good old boys club of who, you know, who's kind of the blue bloods right now. Yeah. So I don't know. It could be possible, but I'm not holding my breath. I don't trust anything they do.
I 100% agree. You know, I think at the end of the day, my country girl starting to come out. Nobody was beating Alabama. Nobody was going to beat Alabama. I think it was just Alabama, everybody else. Thanks for playing. Like, we could have had Coastal Carolina playing, and then as a joke, like, you could have had anybody up against that, you know, franchise, like literally a franchise. Nobody was beating Alabama. So I think that's like the problem. But I'm person for like, let me just see some change. I personally am like all about Carolina this season. I'm like, okay, let's get ourselves in the conversation. It might not happen, but hell, let's throw ourselves in the ring with Mac Brown. But I'm ready for something different, because I do think it is hurting college football in general. Like, I don't think that everyone wants to keep seeing Ohio State, Alabama. I don't think everyone wants to keep seeing Clemson. I know for a fact you do not want to see Notre Dame get their butt smacked for like the umpteenth time in a, you know, postseason game period. So I think it's just time to see someone different, and I'm hoping teams like Iowa can get in that conversation, because it's deserving. Like, we don't have to keep seeing the same. I don't know what it is about these teams that are all automatically like, yep, they obviously can contend for national titles. Like, why can't these other teams do that?
Couldn't agree more. I just don't trust anything they do. It's
ridiculous. No doubt. Well, Andrew, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your conversation today. I really hope that, you know, again, I'm cheering for Luka Garza. I'm going to be a believer, right? I kind of let go of Carolina basketball. So I'm cheering for Luka, and, you know, I want something different as well. So I hope that goes for you. Can you please remind folks of where they can follow you and find your work?
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at Locked On Iowa. You can also find our show dropping every single Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Locked On Hawkeye. Search it wherever you get your podcast at. We have awesome coverage every single week, bringing on awesome guests, talking through, you know, everything going on with Iowa basketball right now. And then we love covering the NFL draft as well. So you can find us there Monday through Friday.
That's awesome. A lot of good action. We know there's a lot of good players coming down the stretch. The draft is not that far away. So hopefully we get some of these Hawkeyes, you know, their names get called come soon. So yeah, appreciate you, and hope you have a great week.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Candace.